Alright, so today is Friday, November 21st, 2008. The following is an interview of Mrs. Alice Taubert by Kyle Radke for the Cooperstown Graduate Program's Research and Fieldwork course, and the interview is being conducted at Mrs. Taubert's home on Pioneer Street in Cooperstown, New York. And actually, I just realized, I don't think I wrote down your full name, so even just starting with that, your full name is Alice. What's your?
Well, you want my maiden name?
Yes,
or
sure.
Losi.
Mm-hmm. Losi Taubert.
Right.
Okay. And when and where were you born again?
White Plains, New York, in Westchester County, 6/11/23.
Right. And at the time, was, I mean, beside your parents, anyone else in the family? Or it was just you entering the home, a family of four?
I was the first of five children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, when did siblings enter the picture for you?
Well, there were five of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I have my brother was born November 17th and 25. Then I had another brother in March 18th, 24, my older brother was born. And then March 11th, 25. And then I have a sister, June 5th. Oh, dear. In 20, let's see, she would have been. I know you're waiting for all this to come out, but I, you know.
It's all right if it doesn't. I have to back.
At 24, I think she was born. And then I have a brother, and this last brother is the only one that's still living besides me, and he was born November 18th.
Okay. So they.
You should have warned me ahead of time, so I could have looked up all this information.
Well, the exact dates. It was. I was just getting a sense of, maybe how long you had to kind of rule the house as the only child, or how long until your siblings came along.
Oh, not long.
That was always good.
Not long, yeah. In those days, you raised families, you know, bang, 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 usually.
And, and you mentioned that your father, supporting the family, worked for the Railway Express Company.
Right.
And that was... And that was that an office located in White Plains, or did he have to travel?
He was traveling on a, he was a delivery man on a truck.
Okay.
All express items. And he was alone on this truck and used to have to carry heavy trunks up flights of stairs. I can remember him telling about how he had to carry these trunks alone on his back. He had a strap that he strapped the trunks on his back with, and that's what delivery men did in those days. They didn't have helpers or automatic lifters or anything like that. It was all done manually.
Do you happen to know how he came to that job, or?
His father worked for the railroad initially, and I guess through his father, he got the job as the delivery man with the Railway Express Company.
Mm-hmm. And your mother at the time, she
stayed at home, mm-hmm. raised her family. My mother didn't. She went out to work later in life, but not when the children were small. There wasn't time.
Right.
She was busy raising children.
What was it that she went on to do later in life?
She did just manual labor, house cleaning, and things of that nature.
Okay. Once.
Because it was, you know, times were not very lucrative at that time. It was just, you took whatever you could get. And she did not have an education. She came over from the old country, and I think she only completed two grades, second grade, when she, and she lived on a farm, and she was working on the farm with her. She was the oldest of 12 children, and so she worked on the farm and helped raise a family too.
And you mentioned the old country. Which country did she come?
It was one of the small countries, and I'm not sure which one it was that was swallowed up by Russia.
Oh, okay.
A German speaking country, and I can't remember what the what country it was. I got the history upstairs, and I could look it up if it's important.
Well, that might be something good to take a look at when we're done, and I can jot it down and fill in the blanks
okay.
later. Yeah.
It might take me a little while to find it, but I can find it.
And your siblings, what were they like? I mean, how did you get along with them when you were younger?
Well, we got along well, you know, as children do. We you know, picked on each other and got into battles but we got along just fine, really. I mean, all came out okay.
And in White Plains, where you grew up, I was wondering if you could describe the neighborhood where you were, what it looked like, or just the atmosphere.
Well, it was a city, and we lived on a very wealthy. It was not a slum section, but it was not a very wealthy section. It was a poorer section of the city, and it was like any city. It was a block of apartment houses, and I can remember that one time that I was visiting a cousin who was two or three doors away, and I followed my mother home, and she didn't realize I was behind her, and so I just kept right on walking, and I got lost. I had to send police out looking for me. But, you know, it was... And I don't remember too much about that, because I was really very young then. I was three. I guess we left White Plains when I was about 5 or 6, and moved up in Westchester County to Hawthorne, New York, which is a smaller town.
Well, that's right. I remember you mentioning that you moved around a lot.
Yes.
When you were younger.
Yes.
And that was because of
my father's job. Right.
Mm-hmm. But actually, it was something you mentioned about White Plains. You had other family there.
That was the cousin that I was visiting mm-hmm. when I got lost.
Right. Is that how they came to live in White Plains? Did you have a lot of relatives there? Or it was, again...
It was my father's relatives, and they were, they were all in that area, not all in White Plains, but that was one of the most affluent places to live at that time, mm-hmm. except for the really high class, I'll put it that way, high class towns, which were like Scarsdale and Hartsdale, and those places were pretty affluent areas. My father was born in Scarsdale, or actually not born. He was born in the Bronx, but then they moved to Scarsdale.
Okay.
And he was raised by an aunt because his mother died shortly after he was born. So he was raised by another part of the family. And that these were his cousins that lived in that area.
And when you moved, I know you were only 5 or 6, but do you remember much about that process? The family...
Of moving?
Yeah.
I don't remember the actual move, but I remember being in other houses.
Right.
In fact, being between White Plains and Hawthorne, we had another stop in Hartsdale, I think it was the name of the place. I believe that was it. And we only stayed there a very short time, like maybe a year. And then we moved to Hawthorne, which was a much smaller village-like, and that's where I started school.
And how long was the stay in Hawthorne?
Not too long. From there, we moved to Schoharie County for a short period of time. And my father, by then, had lost his job at the Railway Express, and he worked for an organization which was called, he was with the CCC camps, which I don't remember too much about it, they did I'm going to say landscaping, but not for homes, landscaping out in the wilds. They also planted trees and things like that.
So
like a reforestation company, okay. Perhaps.
Like for the public.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Okay. And where was he working then with the CCC? Was he traveling far off from Hawthorne?
We had moved to Schoharie County.
Oh, that's right.
By then.
That's right.
Yeah. And we were living in Middleburg at that time. And after that, I'm kind of blank. It was a while before then we moved back to Brooklyn, but I've forgotten just exactly the circumstances, the reason that we moved back to Brooklyn. And then my father went to work for the subway system in Brooklyn. And I've forgotten whether it was there were different ones, the IRT and BMT, and I don't remember what railroad system, subway system he worked for. And that was as a porter, not a porter, he didn't carry baggage. What did he do? He just worked in the cars, I guess, somehow, maybe even cleaning, I'm not sure.
These are quite a few different places. I mean, this is all in the span of...
Exactly.
How many years?
We figured it out once, and I think I'd moved 16 times by the time I was 16 years old. So it was very difficult to remember what went on when.
How did you cope with moving so often?
Very well. I did well in school. At one time when we were in Schoharie County living in Middleburg, I was in contention with the young man who was top of the class. I had no problem with learning. It was very easy for me. So I didn't, that was not a problem, as I say.
And how about your siblings? Or did it work out well as well for them?
Well, not all of them. My brother that was just below me had a rather difficult time. For some reason or other, we were in the same class. And I think it was because when I was in the first grade, I became ill, and they kept me back for a year after that. I was ill for a while, and I've forgotten what my problem was, even. And then he caught up with me, and so we were in the same class, and he was always very angry with me because I did so well in school and he did so poorly. And then my next brother was he struggled. He had a time in school. Not he didn't do too well, but then my sister did very well, and my youngest brother did quite well. So we all came through unscathed.
Well, I imagine you had many schools and many teachers.
Exactly. The teacher that I remember the best, for some reason or other, was in Middleburg, because it was the first man teacher that I had, and his name was Mr. Mustard. And that just stands out in my mind.
Was he a good teacher, or is it mostly?
He was an excellent teacher.
Oh, okay.
Tall, good-looking man. So all the girls were paid special attention.
Were these large schools or relatively small schools?
The small town schools mostly. Middleburg is not a very big community, and just one school in the village, like here in Cooperstown, just not too many children, and I don't remember what the population was at that time. That was a long time ago.
My next question was going to be what the typical school day was like. I mean, with 16 different schools possibly in there, I don't know if there is a typical, but...
Just went to school, and we stayed in the same class with the same teacher up until we went to Middleburg, and that was because I was in seventh grade by then, I guess. And that was the first time that we started changing classes for different subjects. So Mr. Mustard was my homeroom teacher. And then, then we changed classes, and I don't remember too much about them except that, you know, I enjoyed school and I enjoyed being there, and it worked out fine, that's all.
Nice. And what were your favorite subjects then in school? Did you have one in particular?
Math.
Math, yeah.
Right. And that's how I became an accountant. Mm-hmm. Why I became an accountant.
I thought you might have answered that based on our conversation before, but I thought I would ask anyway.
Right.
And you mentioned before that you had education that went up through junior year of high school. That is correct.
Right.
And then you had to leave. I was wondering if we can talk about that a bit more.
Okay. That was when I lived in Brooklyn, and I went to East New York Vocational High School. And my mother felt that it would be a good idea for me to become a hairdresser, a beautician. So she sent me to vocational high school, and I studied besides academic subjects, I studied beauty culture, what they called it then, and I guess it still is occasionally called beauty culture, and learned to become a hairdresser up until I didn't finish, as I said, my senior year because I had to go out and get a job. Both my mother and father became ill, and my father lost his job as a result, and I was the oldest of five children, so I had to go out and get a job. And I went to work for a import-export company in New York City. We were living in Brooklyn at that time.
And what was that like? What kind of work was the import-export?
It was like a messenger girl delivering bills of lading, all sorts of things relating to the import-export company. I went all over the city, traveled all over the city delivering things and picking up whatever had to come back to the company. Like a mail girl, sort of. And that was my first job. That paid, I think I got $15 a week at that time.
And this is the late 1930s at this point, right?
Right. It was, yes, exactly. It was 19... I was 17 years old, so it was...
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, interesting. One thing you mentioned that your mother had encouraged you to study beauty culture. I mean, was that something you were interested in at all?
No, or? She thought that would be a good thing for me to go into because her brother owned a barber beauty shop, and he was looking for a beautician. And she just thought that if I had that background, that I could go to work for him. And when I went to work for him, it did not work out at all because I did not like that kind of work. I liked figuring and, you know, that kind of thing. So it didn't work out. I only stayed there about 6 months, and then I went and looked for another job, and I went back to Brooklyn to find that job, and I found a job in a bank and went to work in, I think it was the National Commercial Bank, maybe, Wellabout Branch. Now, that's the only thing that I remember about it. That was the branch of that particular bank. And I'm not sure of the name of the bank either. I do remember the Wallabout branch. That's all.
It sounds like you had left the city for a time then. You were a messenger in the city, and then you left to work at the... Where was the Rooster Brothers?
That was in Warwick, New York. I told you, I moved around a lot.
Yeah.
And I only stayed there 6 months. I just didn't like that work at all. So I went back down to visit my folks and look in the papers and saw this advertisement for, I think it was called... what was the name of the machine that you would run? It was like starting out sorting checks for the bank. But eventually I went into the bookkeeping department. And from there I even went in as a teller to, and that was at the time of rationing, when they had stamps for different things that you needed stamps for, like meat stamps were red and sugar stamps were blue, and I've forgotten all the colors, but that was taken care of by a teller in the bank. People came in with, they had slips that said they were allotted so many stamps for each one of those things. And that was my job to give those out.
Did you enjoy your time at the bank?
I did. But then I decided I wanted to do more. I wanted to get more of an education in bookkeeping and accounting. And so some friend of mine said, why don't we try enlisting in the Navy or the Army, some branch of the service. And she said, it says here that you can get an education by doing that. And it was in an advertisement in a paper or a magazine or something. I don't remember. And so we went together and enlisted in the Navy, and that's where I got my actual accounting degree. Or I didn't get a degree, but where I took my classes.
I'm sorry, and you said, what was your friend's name?
Oh, gosh. That was a long time ago. Oh, gosh. And I have corresponded with her up until just a few years ago. No, I'll have to look it up. I can't remember.
It's okay. I thought.
Sure.
Just want to make sure you
didn't miss it. I've got pictures and albums upstairs, and when I look at it, I'll know it. But I can't think of it right offhand.
You met her at the bank. Right.
Yeah. We were working together at the bank, and we decided that we wanted to do more. We wanted to get more of an education.
Right.
So we decided we would do that. My parents weren't too happy about it, but we did it, and it turned out okay.
Yeah. That was one thing I was curious about. Yeah, your parents' reaction. They, like I said, at that point, you were old enough for...
Yeah, I was 18.
Yeah. Did you get to stay with your friend when you were in the service?
No. Oh. We were separated. She went to Washington, D.C., and I went to Bainbridge, Maryland, which was a boot camp. And you know what a boot camp is? You know, boot camp is where new recruits go... in the Navy, these are men, went to be, well, tested, and they decided where they should go, what part of the Navy that they should be sent to, whether they should go on to school or just be given a driving a truck or whatever, decide what they should be doing in the Navy for men. And we did the testing programs and the placement, I guess you call it, and that was then using the early computers, IBM key punch machines, and that's where we punched in their scores, and depending on what their score was, they were placed not by us, we just did the groundwork, and they were placed, they were officers who decided where they should go, what branch of the service or of the Navy they should be in.
What were these machines like?
They were huge, humongous clunkers. Great big things. The key punch machine itself was not. It was a small machine like this. And it wasn't with the regular, typewriter kind of keyboard. It was you had a little keyboard on the side which had numbers. You typed in names and things on the regular typewriter keyboard, then you punched in the scores and the numbers on a little machine on the side, a little, I've forgotten what you call it. You know, this was all 65 years ago we're talking about. And my mind isn't that open.
But the punch part's relatively small, but then the rest
but,
of it...
Well, the bigger machines was like the sorter, which put the cards. This key punch machine punched holes in cards about this big. And those then were put into a sorter and sorted out by the holes that were punched in the card. And that's, I can understand that part of computers. But later on, when they started doing computers over telephone lines and the like, I lost track of that. I that was beyond me. I couldn't figure out how that could work. And now, you know, it's just unbelievable what can be done over the air, out of the, you know, I guess, over the air, I guess, because I don't know how you get from one place to another without having wires going back and forth. Can you figure that out?
I'm not that good with computers either. Even the punch cards, it's
well, the punch
interesting
cards,
to picture.
There's something that I could look at and see how it worked. I could see that, but when they went beyond that, and then I gave up.
And so part of the day was working with this essentially these early computers, and then part of the day was your continuing education. Is that right? In bookkeeping and accounting, you mentioned that you were going to get that through the
service.
Well,
that was a part of my I did my classes at night to learn bookkeeping and accounting and so forth. It was like night school.
Okay.
my day was I was working for the Navy as being I was called Specialist I. I was Seaman First Class Specialist I. And that was my work day, key punching and doing all that kind of stuff. But then at night I went to school to take up accounting and bookkeeping and so on. That was probably, I went from working during the day until, it was a regular work day, 5 o'clock, and then you had your dinner hour, and then from there you went, I think I started at 7 o'clock at classes, 7 to 9, and I had 3 classes a night.
Really?
To get my degree, which I never did get. It never materialized for some reason or other. I guess I didn't stay in long enough, as I remember. I was only there 2 years, and I guess it really took 3 years to get a degree. It was, you know, like college, you have to take so many courses to get a degree, and I never did get a degree.
Well,
but I had enough education so that I could go out into the work world and do what I had been taught.
That sounds like a busy day then. that you had. I mean, for 2 years straight.
Oh yes, 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and there was no. You had weekends, of course, and usually you went home on weekends. Except for the weekend when you pulled duty, which you had to stay on and do, be a. I forgot what they called it. You had to. You had to be there in the office, in the dorm, to check on people coming in and out and so on and so forth. Just like an attendant, whatever what they called it. I've forgotten. I can't remember.
But when it wasn't that weekend, you would make the trip from Maryland back to the city?
To Brooklyn. Yeah. Right. By train.
Was that a long trip?
Well, from Bainbridge, Maryland, to it was below Baltimore, between Baltimore and Aberdeen, and so that was I can't remember, but I think maybe like a 3 or 4 hour trip by train to Brooklyn, and then my father would pick me up and I'd be at home. Well, no, my father didn't always pick me up because he couldn't always pick me up. I would take the subway from the train home. It was a subway to start out, and then it turned into an elevator. You know what elevator trains are?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I went both subway and elevator back to Brooklyn to spend the weekend at home.
And when you came home, seaman first class, and told your parents about what you had been doing, had their opinion changed?
Oh yeah, they were resolved to the fact that that's what I was going to be doing, and so it worked out just fine. They got over the fact that they were not happy about my doing that.
And so you lived on the base in Bainbridge,
right?
Now, yeah. What was the base like there?
Well, they were. You lived in barracks, plain barracks with cots, double decker bunk beds, and you know, nothing very fancy. Is everything all right out there? I have pictures, if you would be interested, if I can dig them up, of the barracks that we lived in. Is that anything you'd be interested in?
That would be something that we could see.
Okay, you remind me later on to look that up. And I hope I can find it.
Actually, one thing I was curious, the training to work with these key punch systems, I mean, that's not... It sounds like it was something that you sort of had experience with at the bank, is that right, with the check system?
Well, yes. I worked on a machine, a bookkeeping machine, and that was a big clunker of a thing. You know, adding machines now, you have about 9 numbers on your keyboard. That had about 50 or 60 keys to punch, because you, for every, this is tens, units, singles, tens, twenties, and so on. And each row of units had keys, the whole big keyboard, like this big.
Yeah.
That's what you punched in your amounts on your when you were adding up checks or whatever you were doing, you punched those in.
So when you went into the Navy, you needed some training with the new devices, but you had some experience.
Oh, I had some background on that, right. And that's how I really happened to, you know, get to where I was in the Navy. That's when I went, when I first went in, my initial training was at Hunter College in the Bronx, and that was 6 weeks, I think it was, and that's where they decided where to send me. That's when they decided they would send me to this boot camp. I was hoping to be able to get overseas and do some traveling, but that never... By the time I got in and got into the job that I was doing, they froze the rates, as they called it, and women were the first ones not allowed to get out of their jobs. They had to stay where they were.
So your training had a... You had to go through boot camp, too? Had a physical part to it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
I have pictures of that. Well, it was... You did parades and practices and marching and all sorts of things. That was part of your boot camp training. And then you graduated, and I have a picture of our graduation class. If I can find it, I have all that somewhere. I didn't think about getting it out. I didn't think we were going into it this deeply. I thought I just thought I would tell you what I did, and that was it.
I'm interested, in hearing about your service.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been great. I mean, do you have any particular memories or specific stories that stand out from your service or training?
I know that I didn't like, I had to do shooting guns, at targets, what do you call it? Target practice. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. There wasn't an awful lot that I didn't like about the service. I thought it was rugged. I mean, it was not easy, but yet, it wasn't impossible to. Things were not impossible to do. They didn't make it that hard. The women who thought it was too hard were usually the ones who flunked out. They didn't make it. You had to be pretty tough to be able to get through it. At least most, I thought it was pretty tough, and most of the women that I talked to said the same thing. It was pretty tough. There are friends here in Cooperstown who were in the service, not the same place that I was, but have said that they thought it was a pretty tough life, but it taught you to appreciate what you had.
And out of it, you said you had training that positioned you well once you had left. Once you left the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you mentioned that you left after 2 years, and it was a three-year program.
Enough points to be discharged, and I would have had to have gone on to a school to get any more training in what I was doing. So they didn't offer me anything more to any more incentive to keep on in the service, and so by that time I thought I had had enough, and I would come home and look for a job. And that's an interesting thing, too, because in while I was in the service, my parents had bought a farm up here in Otsego County. And I came up after I got out of the service, came up for a visit, and I was going to go back to the city to get a job. But when I came up for a visit, there's a company, an insurance company over in Edmiston, New York Central Mutual Fire Insurance Company. Have you heard of it?
Well, I remember from our interview we had earlier. Yeah.
Okay. And they were looking for a key punch operator. And so they made me such a good offer that I never went back to the city. I stayed.
Did your parents or did your family expect you to take up work at the farm with them, or?
I went on, lived on the farm, but no, they didn't expect me to work on the farm.
Okay.
Since I had been offered a job at New York Central, why they were happy with that.
Okay. And you had mentioned before, when we met before, that starting the farm was a big mistake for them. I didn't know if you wanted to, we could explore that.
Yeah, because they didn't make a go of farming. They sold the farm after a few years, and actually I bought a house that we all moved into in Edmiston with my GI loan. They gave GIs loans at that when they got out of the service, and with my GI loan I bought a house and we all moved into that. And my father got a job then at the school in Edmiston as a janitor, and I went to work for New York Central. My sister was working in New York Central at that time already. They had moved up before I was discharged from the Navy, and she was the one that told the bosses over in New York Central that her sister was a key punch operator, and they sent for me or told her to have me come in and talk with them. And I did, and as I say, they made me such a good offer, I just couldn't turn it down. I couldn't have done any better in the city. At first, I thought, oh, well, this is nothing. I can go in the city and get a much better paying job than that. But with this was, I was on a what was called the GI training, and I got a, and I forgot what it was called, but I got some money from the Navy to supplement what they paid me, what the job paid me, and I forgot what it was called. It was a name for it.